All right, if you would find your seat and stand up. Thank you for two of you obeying. All right. How many of you are enjoying the temperatures outside? You enjoying the weather in South Louisiana? Last week I introduced my nephew, who's in his fourth year of med school, and he's out here trying out for residency at Lay of the Lake. And oh, there he is. Are you guys here? Is Melody here?
No, not yet.
Not yet. She delayed. I take it delayed for the great thing. And Matt's here, and Matt's doing labor at Lay of the Lake Hospital for 4 weeks without getting paid. Come on, somebody. And he's working. He had to be there at 4:45 or something in the morning, or 5:40, something like that. And he works till about 11:30 at night, and they don't pay him a penny. But, you know, ain't that great, God, hallelujah. And what's going on is, though, he's bringing Melody, his wife. And how old is your little girl? 8 months old. They're bringing her in. She's flying in today to Louisiana to see if she likes Louisiana. Come on, somebody. I said, of all the times to bring somebody to Louisiana, bring them in August, you know, the year. They're from, you know, Tennessee and used to the weather up there. So fat chance you're going to be staying, but it's just good. It's good to have her down here. I believe in miracles. Let me ask you a question. How many of you want to be happy? How many of you want to be happy? All right, about half of you do. The rest of you, I don't know what you want, but most of us want to be happy, and we're on a series called Happiness Redefined, and it's Jesus had to redefine what happiness is and what it means, and because the world has defined it to such an extent what happiness is, you know, I mean, it's unbelievable. And the way that Jesus began to call the Beatitudes, and the word blessed means happy, and happy are, and we began to go through the Beatitudes. We went through the first two of them, and today we're going to go through the third one. It's in Matthew chapter 5. It says, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. So let's pray today. Father, we love you. We thank you. We pray. We want to be teachable. Open our hearts to understand more than just reading a novel or a book. Lord, we need the Spirit of God to enlighten that we might know truth and truth might set us free. In Jesus' name, everybody said amen. Amen. You can be seated today. So we're going to begin to do this today. We're on number 3. It's very interesting because in Matthew chapter 13, Jesus speaks about teaching. And here's what he says. He says, then said he to them, therefore every scribe which is instructed to the kingdom of heaven is like a man that is a householder, which brings forth out of his treasure things new and things old. And so what he was talking about, a scribe was one of the teachers of the law. And he says that sometimes things are brand new, some things aren't. When you read the Beatitudes, that literally some of them are brand new. You've never heard them before. But some of them were not. And this one in particular is found in the book of Psalms 37. It was already written. It says, for yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yes, you shall diligently consider his place. He shall not be, but the meek shall inherit the earth. So this is one of those that was already in play. It was a Old Testament in the book of Psalms when Jesus uttered it that day at the Mount of Beatitudes. It wasn't something brand new, this one, that they had never heard before. It was in the Old Testament. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. But let's talk about this. Meek, the word, how many of you this week used the word meek in your vocabulary? Let me see. Did anybody this week use the word meek in your vocabulary? Did anybody this week use the word meek in your vocabulary? No? Is it warm in here? Is y'all warm? A little bit warm. It's a little bit warm. Did somebody play with the temperature? We'll see. They'll check it. All right. It's not that it's hot outside, right? It's very nice and cool outside. Trying to get humidity and everything else, you know, it's really a challenge. All right, the word meek is not a word that we use every day in our language. And we kind of substituted the word gentleness for it, or gentle. How many use the word gentle or gentleness this week? Yeah. See there? It proves my point. No, it doesn't prove my point, but I'll just say this. But the word meek is a word that means in our thinking, in a modern idea, totally different than what the biblical understanding is. In fact, Webster's defined meekness, when we think of somebody meek, we think of somebody that's calm, you know, low-key, soft-spoken, even weak, or maybe even a pushover, and we think of somebody meek. Webster's dictionary defines it deficient in spirit and courage, and not very strong or something. I mean, that's Webster's dictionary of the word meek. And so when Jesus says, blessed are the meek, or happy are the meek, you know, in our modern concept, we're thinking, well, somebody that's weak and lacks courage and da-da-da. And you know, there can never be anything more opposite than the biblical definition of the word meek. Meek in the biblical definition in the Greek had nothing to do with being weak. And in fact, I searched just in the modern day idea of meekness. I kind of looked around for meekness today, the way we understand meekness. And I watched a few things this week. I couldn't find meekness. I watched the Democratic National Convention. I couldn't find any. I watched the WWF, Worldwide, Wrestling Federation. I didn't see much meekness. Saw a lot of old men in Speedos, about all I saw. Very disturbing, and so we could go back there. Yeah, Jasmine and I watched it together. No, we didn't watch it. My mama back there in the back, I kid around with her a lot, and she tells me, every word, Terry, every word you're going to give an account for. And she'll tell me, liars will have no place in the kingdom of God. All right, let's start out. I'm going to ask you three questions, then we're going to pray today. Number one, what is meekness? What is meekness? If it's not deficient in courage and deficient in soft, what is meekness according to the Bible and in the Greek language? And let me tell you this, meek is not weak. In Latin, meekness, according to the Greek word, is this, strength under control. That is what meekness is. Has nothing to do with being lack of courage. It has nothing to do with being soft-spoken. It has to do with being, it's strength under control. Everybody say that with me. Strength under control. It comes from a Greek culture that describes wild animals that's been tamed and completely submissive and obedient to their master. It speaks of an animal, and they used to tame all these animals, a lot of them, like they do today. And it had to do with an animal that had been tamed and become completely submissive to its master. And I understand that we might not like the word tamed or submission. And I do a lot of weddings now, and a lot of people ask me to take that word submission out of the wedding ceremony. But because Jesus was the meekest person ever lived. He was the most obedient person that ever lived to his Father. There had never been a more meek person than the Lord Jesus. Strength under control. You get this? He was not weak. He was completely submissive. And that is what meekness is. Meekness refers to when you can be controlled totally by the Holy Spirit. Let me help you with this. Meekness is when you can be controlled totally by the Holy Spirit. The opposite of meekness is whenever strength is out of control. You ever seen a mean drunk? You know what a mean drunk is? You've been around somebody that when they get drunk, their personality is totally different. They're a mean, we call them a mean drunk. And let me give you some examples of meekness in the Bible. First one is Joseph. You remember the story of Joseph? Joseph was a young guy. He had some dreams, and his brothers got very offended by them and jealous about them. And they are going to kill him. They put him in a pit. They're going to kill him. I think it's Reuben that talked him out of killing him. Let's just sell him off as a slave. Make something off of it. They sell him as a slave. The slave traders take him down to Egypt. He begins to work in Potiphar's house. He gets accused falsely. He's thrown in an Egyptian jail and a prison for decades. He's in his prison for decades. And suddenly God raises him up. He becomes second in command to the greatest empire, the strongest empire in the world. It had been 22 years since his brothers saw him last. And they come down and they need grain because there's a famine in the land, which is the dream Joseph was given. And suddenly before him comes in these brothers that had done to him what they did to him. And in Genesis 45 and verse 8 says, Joseph could not refrain himself before all of them that stood by him. And he cried, cause every man to go out from me. And there stood no man with him while Joseph made himself known to his brothers. And he wept aloud. The Egyptians, the household, heard it. And Joseph said to his brothers, I'm Joseph. Does my father yet live? And his brothers could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. And Joseph said, come near, I pray you. They came near, and he said, I'm Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. Now, don't be grieved nor angry with yourselves that you sold me here, for God did send me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years are famine in land, which shall be here, the opening of the harvest. Look at verse 7. And God sent me before you, and look at verse 8. So now it was not you that sent me, but God, and he made of me a father to Pharaoh, and the lord of his house, and the ruler throughout the land of Egypt. And what happened was this, when those brothers found out who he was, they were terrified. You read on, they were terrified because all he had to do, he was second in command of the greatest empire on the land. And all he had to say, oh, now it's your turn. Just see how you like an Egyptian prison for a decade. Let's put all of you in prison. And see, he could have done that, but this is meekness. This is strength under control. When he could have, but he didn't. When he had the power to do what he wanted to do in terms of revenge, but he doesn't. That is meekness. The story of Joseph, he was strength under control. Moses, in Numbers chapter 12, Moses says, now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were on the face of the earth. Who wrote this? You know who wrote the book of Numbers? Everybody say with me, Moses. How many know you got to be pretty meek to write your own story? That you're the meekest man on the face of the earth. Before I die, I think I'm going to write my own autobiography and just really tell about myself. But Moses says, Moses was very meek above all the men on the face of the earth. Now, think about it. This is Moses, though, at 120 years old. This is Moses, anywhere from 80 to 120 years old. Now, let me just remind you, it does not describe him when he was 40 years old. Because when he was 40 years old, he was not meek. Remember the definition of meekness is strength under control. Strength under control. 40 years old, he goes out and he sees an Egyptian beating a Hebrew. Do you know what the Bible says he does? He gets off that chariot or horse, whatever he's on. He beats that Egyptian to death and then buries him in the sand. You think somehow that's easier to do then than it. No. He got off. He beat that man to death. He beat him till he killed him. Strong? He was strong. But was it under control? Absolutely not. God looked down and said, not ready to lead yet. Let's go out in the desert and talk to sheep for another 40 years, and maybe you'll be ready. And he goes out in the desert and he keeps sheep for 40 years, and then he becomes the meekest man on the face of the earth at that time. David. You remember David. David killed a bear. David killed a lion. Then he killed Goliath. Remember that? He killed Goliath. And then he's in the king's court, and he hears that he wants to marry the daughter of Saul. And he inquires about it. And the requirement is you got to bring 100 foreskin of Philistines to me, and you can have my daughter as your wife. And he goes out and kills 200 men, 200 Philistines. He brings back the foreskin of 200 of them. Strong, he was strong. You should read the of his men. I mean, you should see the history of his men. He had warriors with him that killed other giants. He had warriors with him. That one guy went down in a snowy pit on a snowy day and killed a lion in a pit with his bare hands. Another man took the big staff from a giant and killed him. I mean, you ought to read all these things these mighty men did that David had. And David one day, though, because of his sin, is run out of the kingdom by his son Absalom. And Absalom has turned the hearts of the people against David. And David leaves, and he's by night leaving out of Jerusalem by stealth, and he and his mighty men are with him, and they're leaving. And one of the descendants of Saul, who David replaced as king, hated David. But he was an old man. His name was Shimei. He was an old man. And when David and his mighty men are leaving the city of Jerusalem, Shimei comes out and begins to curse David and shout at David and throw rocks and hitting him and smack. Now think about this. This is a little old man. And he's got warriors with him now that's killed lions and giants. And David is leaving the city. And watch what David does. It says, and when King David came to Beram, behold, there came out a man of the family of the house of Saul, whose name was Shimei, the son of Gera. And he came forth cursed still as he came, and he cast stones at David. And all the servants of King David, and all the people, and all the mighty men who were on his right hand and on his left. And thus Shimei, when he cursed, come out, you bloody man, you man of Baal, which is a curse word. The Lord has returned on you the blood of the house of Saul, in whose stead you reign. And the Lord has delivered the kingdom into the hand of Absalom, your son. And behold, you're taken in your mischief because you're a bloody man. And one of the great, great warriors of David said, David, give me the word. Let me go. I'll take one word. I'll take his head off. And you know what David said? David said, my own son will run me out of the kingdom. How much more this Benjamite? Maybe the Lord has sent him this day to curse me. Maybe the Lord will hear it and return unto me good this day for what he's done unto me. How many know that is meekness, not weakness. That is strength under control. One word and one of those warriors could have chopped his head off. That is meekness. Strength under control. The connotation of the word meekness is tremendous strength. Tremendous strength. Meekness has nothing to do with the lack of courage or lack of strength. Meekness, the connotation of it, is tremendous strength. But strength under control. I remember reading one time history a little bit, and during one of the wars, early wars, that there was this embankment being built by these soldiers, and this civilian rides up on his horse, and he sees his corporal barking orders at these soldiers to build this embankment, and this civilian says, "Corporal, why don't you help them?" And he said, "I'm a corporal. They're doing that." And the man got off his horse and helped for about 2 hours. And when he finished helping, and the corporal still barking orders, when he was leaving, the man in plain clothes walked over to the corporal and said, "Next time you need help, just call me. I'm General George Washington. Come on, somebody." That's called strength. Let me talk to you bosses a little bit, and fathers and moms. Watch this. James chapter 5 says, "Go now to the rich men, weep and howl, for your miseries shall come on you. Your riches are corrupted, your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold, your silver is corroded. The rust of them shall be a witness against you. Shall eat your flesh as it were fire. It shall eat your flesh. And have heaped treasure together for the last days. Behold, the hire of the laborers who have reaped down your fields, which is of you kept back by fraud." Let me encourage you. Never defraud anybody. There is a Lord and a master in heaven who watches everything. If he knows the hairs on your head, he knows. Listen. Do what is right and what is just. Do not defraud. He said, you kept me back by fraud, cries, and the cries of them which have reaped are entered into the ears of the Lord of Sabbath. You have lived in pleasure on the earth and been wanting nothing. But the problem is you live off of their money, and you have nourished your hearts in a day of slaughter. And you have condemned and killed unjust, and he does not resist you. One of the big keys about life is do not use your authority and your power without control. Strength, when it's not under control, is one of the most nauseating things you can ever experience. When somebody has the power and they abuse the power that they've got. Look what Colossians 4 says. "Masters, give to your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged." One of the biggest things is don't be a bully. As a mom, or don't be a bully. Discipline, absolutely. Man, I got the switch. My mom and dad over there, I remember one day we had a three-switch Sunday. Hallelujah. That was a three-switch Sunday. And my mom was a disciplinarian. I mean, my mom was. My dad sitting over there. My dad one time took us in the bedroom, and whatever reason, he said, "Now, when I hit the bed with this belt, you scream." He hit the bed. Sure, we'd scream. We'd hit the bed and scream, and mom was happy. Come on, somebody. She's just learning that. So we had a lot of fun doing this. But don't overbear. Don't be overbearing. Look at the next scripture. It says, "And you masters, do the same thing to them, forbearing threatening." You ever had a boss that just threatened everybody? "You want to get fired? You want to get fired today?" He may not say it, but he may imply it. And don't be if you're a boss, if you're a manager, if you're some over authority over some people, listen, don't use threatenings. Don't be one of these, you know, just do whatever. He says, "Forbear threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect to persons with him." Yeah, I remember this the first day at Victory. I came to work here. I'll never forget in my life, because I came with the pastor. We came in the front building up there. He told the secretary her desk was a little messy. He said, clean up your desk. And we walked in. An hour later, we walked out of his office. She had not touched a thing. He put his hand on the side of her desk and raked the entire contents over on the floor. I went, whoa, whoa. The next day, we're back here. We're taping something. And we had this was time before cell phones. So we had these phones that worked in between the buildings. You could pick up. So we're back there, and we got a phone in the back place where we're retaping the Sunday service, because the pastor was very, very intricate. He wanted to rechange a word or two, he said. So we're taping. Right in the middle of him taping, the phone buzzes. Beep. Because he said, do not call us. We're taping. Beep. I'll never forget. He took off thing, started walking out there, follow me. We walked up here, walked in the front door. You're fired. How many think, I have joined the right place. I am really looking forward to this. And you know, it's repulsive when you see somebody that abuses their power. It's repulsive to us when we see somebody that you see them and they're not strength under control. They're strong, but it's not under control. And so strength under control. So number two is this, is what produces, what that's what meekness is. Then what produces it? What produces meekness? Let me give you two things that do not produce meekness. Being born doesn't produce meekness. Let me just give you an analogy. How many know your kids were not born meek? Strength under control. None of them are. The children weren't born with meekness. They were born with strength and without control. Secondly is, listen, meekness is not a personality trait. It's not that some people, well, then, you know, that's their personality. They're kind of meek. See, we've totally missed it on this, because meekness has nothing to do with personality. It's not biblical meek. Maybe they have a quiet personality. Maybe they don't talk much, and we say, well, they're kind of meek. No, that's not biblical meekness. It has nothing to do with it. It's no more than an orange tree can produce apples. Because you produce what you are. And maybe you've never thought about this, but the meekest in the entire universe is God himself. Strength under control. Every once in a while, you ever just watch one of the How the Universe Works program, and you just get overwhelmed with how big this thing is and what it is and how our solar system is doing. Last night I was watching one, and it was talking about how our solar system is fighting against all the rays and the things trying to kill us, and our sun is doing that, this and that. And it gets you out of the little box you're in. You think there's a bigger war going on than even ISIS. I mean, there's all this stuff taking place. And the most controlled, powerful being in all the universe is always under control. And Galatians 5, let me show you a scripture. You'll understand how meekness is produced. Watch this. But the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit means the product or what it produces. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering. And the word gentleness in the Greek is the word meekness. And the way that meekness is produced in you is not, you're not born with it. It's not a personality trait. It is given and produced in you by the Holy Spirit of God. And meekness is simply this. It's when you are controlled by the Holy Spirit. It's when you are day in, day out, being controlled by the Holy Spirit. It's not any weakness. It's when strength, in fact, it speaks of strength. And I like in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, Jesus, very, very few times does Jesus ever describe himself. You ever wondered what he looked like? You know, what did he look like? Would he have, you know, black hair, brown eyes? You know, what kind of eyes? What did he look like? What did this? On and on and on. And he describes himself very seldom, but this is one time that he describes himself. And this is what he says. Come to me, all you that labor and heavy laden. I will give you rest. Take my yoke on you and learn of me, for I am, and he describes himself, I am meek and lowly in heart. I am meek and lowly. And that's why there's this misunderstanding of the word meek. You've got countless thousands of paintings of Jesus as if he's some weakling, as if he's some emancipated, weakling. And that's the way he looks, because they misuse the word meek. They've used a common definition, a modern definition. It has nothing to do with meek. It's not weak. Meek is literally powerful. It's strong. It's strength under control. And so he says, I am strength. And this is the only how Jesus began to describe himself. 1 Peter chapter 3 says, and let me tell you, this has been misused more than any other scripture, one of the more misused scriptures I've ever seen. And this has to do with women. Come on, all the women, get ready. This is going to help you, I think, all right? Whose adorning let it not be, and literally in the Greek it says only, merely or only. And what it means is this, that is God is not against makeup. Everybody say amen. I think God created makeup. I think it is Holy Ghost inspired. And so if the house needs painting, paint the house. And the reason I say that is because we've misused it, but another word we've misused. Whose adorning, let it not be in the Greek. It literally says not only with the outward adorning of plaiting of the hair, the wearing of gold, and the putting on of apparel, but let it be also mainly the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek, now watch this, a meek and quiet spirit, not soul. And we have somehow told that if you're going to be a godly woman, you've got to be quiet and meek and really, really smooth. But it never says anything about your soul. It says your spirit. And that's for everybody, really. You're to have a meek and quiet spirit. You can be as loud and vivacious and outgoing and all that and still have a meek and quiet spirit. Because meekness is strength under control. Has nothing to do with bondage. Come on, somebody. Nothing to do with having a pale face and a low voice and sweetly, sweetly, sweetly. All right. We've used meekness to describe personality instead of character or spirit. We've used meekness to describe personality instead of meekness. See, remember, meekness is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. And the way you get meekness is submitting yourself on a daily basis to the Holy Spirit. It's daily, daily under control, daily under control of the power of the Holy Spirit. Daily under control. Has nothing to do with meekness. I mean, weakness. Has nothing to do with lack of courage, lack of strength. It's that every day that strength is under control by the Holy Spirit. Every day you could have whacked off Shimei's head if you wanted to. But you don't. Because you're under control of the Holy Spirit. The way you get meekness is you submit yourself. And listen, one of the words meekness in that day in the Greek culture was used of a bit in a horse's mouth. And we use the term horsepower to describe strength or power, how strong an engine is, how powerful an engine is. We use the word horsepower. And think about that, because that's what the word meekness comes. One of the root words of the word meekness is the bit in a horse's mouth. Think how strong a horse is. Think how strong. And a bit does not diminish the strength. It just controls the strength. Everybody say amen, amen. So without meekness, your strength is not channeled in the right direction. It simply channels it. Let me say it again. A bit controls the strength and the direction. Let me say it this way. Without meekness, you have no power and you have no purpose. Without meekness, you are just strength without any control. You can, all this going on, you have no power, you have no, and so the Holy Spirit gives us power and he gives us purpose when we begin to do that. And he can't give us power and purpose without being meek. All right, the last question this morning. What does meekness produce then? What is it? How do we get it? So what does it produce? Let me tell you the number one thing meekness will produce in your life, and that is peace beyond understanding. It will produce peace beyond understanding. Jesus said, 5:5, blessed or happy are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Now, what does that mean? Shall inherit. Now, the main thing it means is there is a better life than South Louisiana. If you don't know that yet, there is a better land coming. There is a heaven where there is no night, there is no day. The Lamb is the light thereof. There's no pain, there's no sorrow, there's no tears. There is a land coming. And that's a primary meaning. We will inherit. Whatever you lose here, you're going to get it. But let me give you, that's a futuristic promise. But let me give you a now promise of this, because many of the biblical truths have depths to them beyond just that. Let me give you a little bit deeper truth that helps you right here and right now, because blessed, happy are those whose strength is under control of the Holy Spirit, for they shall, and it uses two words here, I'm going to use it to you right here, is they shall inherit the earth. Let me give you these two words. The word inherit literally means to have dominion over. It means to possess and to have, but it also means to have dominion over. So to inherit is blessed, happier those whose strength is controlled by the Holy Spirit, for they shall have dominion over. And then the next word is earth. And in the Greek language, the word earth is dirt. Everybody say dirt. Happier the meek, or they're going to get dirt. Come on, somebody. That was a great, great thing. But let me give this. The root word of the word dirt, earth there, is the word dust. Everybody say dust. Now listen to this. Happy are those whose strength is being controlled by the Holy Spirit, for they shall have dominion over the what? What were you made of? Aren't you glad pledge wasn't around back in the Garden of Eden, or we'd never got created? I mean, it'd all been gone. The Bible says God took the dust of the ground and made man out of it. So let me give you, a great word for now. Happy are those whose strength is being controlled by the Holy Spirit, for they shall have dominion over their flesh. My wife said that was a good one. Just want everybody to know that. And my wife said that was a good one. Paul talks about warring after the flesh, how it wars against the spirit, how it's a deal. Romans 8 says it this way in verse 13, if you live after the flesh, you'll die. But if through the spirit you do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. If through the spirit you do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. And you know, I don't think, well, literally you'll do that. Psalms 37, we're going to end up with this scripture. Psalms, I want you to see one more brief of being meek, one more scripture. It says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not yourselves. Everybody say, fret not. Fret not yourselves because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not yourselves in any wise to do evil. And look at verse, keep going. Do I have a verse right here? For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait on the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be, yet you shall diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of what? Peace. How many of you got more peace than you need? How many of you got more peace than you need right now? You just said, oh God, don't send me no more peace today. I've got too much peace. I'm so laid back. There's no worry on my mind. I'm not worried about school. I'm not worried about money. I'm not worried about sickness. I'm not worried about health. I'm not worried about my children. I'm not worried about. I've just got so much peace. Lord, take some of it back and give it to somebody else. Anybody in here got more peace than you need? And the Bible says, shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. Abundance of peace. See, meek people have peace. For the meek shall inherit the earth and enjoy the abundance of peace. Let me say it was, the happier those whose strength is being controlled by the Holy Spirit, for they shall have dominion over their flesh, and they'll have an abundance, more than they need, of peace in their life. Now let me tell you that, listen. In fretting, no worrying. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is in control. Cease from anger. Listen, let me tell you what happened when you ask God for meekness. You'll begin to stop this outburst of angers that takes place in homes a lot of times. Now, it never takes place in our home. I mean, it never takes place in our home. There's never an outburst. Well, every once in a while, Jasmine will do it. But other than that, there's... One of the challenges of my life is that outburst of anger. I got a lot going on. My mind thinks very quickly, and I'm not patient sometimes. So there could be in homes a lot of cabinet cursing. You know what cabinet cursing is? Slamming that cabinet door. You're not saying, but we call that cabinet cursing. Spow, spow, spow. And when you begin to pray and ask God to help you develop meekness in your life, Holy Spirit, I need meekness. Not weakness. It's my strength under control. Because I don't know about you, probably walking along that day, I'd have cut Shimei's head off. I mean, he'd have been a dead dog, and that'd have been the end of him. End of him. How do you? It's not a wish of God. A soft answer turns away. Let me tell you something. It takes two to tango, and a soft answer turns away wrath. How many know it's hard to have an argument with somebody that won't argue back with you? All of you know in your families, in your house, when you're at that point where either you can push the World War III button in your house, or you can give a soft answer. You can look around and say, "You're the cute." Did I ever tell you the cutest thing I ever saw when you're red in the face? Just go over and just plant a big smacker on her or him or whatever it may be. Meekness is able to sit there when you're being attacked. Thank you for your enthusiasm on that. How many of you are in a relationship? Let's hear him. All of you are. Everybody's in here is in a relationship. You're in a relationship at work, or you're in a relationship in marriage, or you're in a relationship at school, you're in a relationship in your neighborhood. You're in some sort of relationship. Every ship goes through storms. And you know why you go through storms? Because the other person is not perfect. Oh, you're quicker than the earlier crowd. It took the earlier crowd about 15 seconds to respond. And say it with me. And neither are you. All right. So, but ships go through all kinds of storms and hurricanes and typhoons and you name it. And every relationship is going through storms. But you have to make up your mind whether or not you're going to be a meek person. You're going to let the Holy Spirit develop in you meekness, where it is strength under control. Has nothing to do with about being a floor mat. It's not Jesus. The happy are the floor mats. The happy are the people who are floor mats. And everybody just run over them. He never said that. He dealt with me having strength to be able to do it if I wanted to. But I didn't, because there. Listen, and you know why you're not going to have storms when you're in a relationship is because you have to understand that meekness needs to occur. When you're in a relationship, you go through all kinds of droughts and all. Remember that meekness is strength under control. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10. It says, "Now I, Paul, myself beseech you by the meekness and the gentleness of Christ." All right, look at the next one. Next scripture. "Tell you daughters of Zion, behold your king." Everybody say king. Think how strong a king is. Think the power of a king. "Comes to you." Everybody say meek. Meek, sitting on a donkey, colt of a foal of a man. He didn't come, and they show these pictures of him just like he's emancipated, just really weak. He was strength under control. Everybody say it with me again. Strength under control. Your king is coming, lowly. This is when he's entering Jerusalem as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, prophesied 483 years before this date is coming to pass. It's being fulfilled, and he's strength under control. And let me end up with this one in Isaiah 53. I want you to listen to what he said here, because here is what I prayed for you this week. I prayed for you this week that God would let you experience an injustice in your life. Say, thank you, Pastor Terry. Thank you. Just keep praying. Keep praying. Watch this. He was beaten. He was tortured. But he didn't say a word. Some of you are going to go to a restaurant today, and you're going to sit down, and nobody's going to come wait on you. But somebody's going to come in about 10 minutes later, beside on the table beside you, and they're going to get instantly waited on. What you going to do? You going to stand up and you going to show them who's boss? You going to show them? I want you to know I've been here 10 minutes longer than that, and they've already gotten their, you know, appetizers. Okay, we can move on. Like a lamb taken to be slaughtered and like a sheep being sheared, he took it all in what? Has nothing to do with when he spoke up, when others were being, have been judged, he spoke up. It has nothing to do with that. I'm just telling you, this week is more than you teaching somebody a lesson and you telling the manager that his employees are not doing properly. It's either going to be at work, it's going to be at school, it's going to be in your marriage, it's going to be, you name it. But this week, here's what I've been praying. Lord, let every one of us experience an injustice this week. And what meekness is, see, we want meekness, but we don't want nothing to try it out on. We just want meekness. It's like long-suffering. You remember I told you this? Long-suffering. The only way you can get long-suffering is God give you something to suffer over a long time. But meekness is when there is an injustice. You know what I love to watch games? I love to watch a football game or a basketball game. You know what? Do you know what grips me? What I remember more than anything else? I don't remember a lot of the plays. Do you know what I remember more than anything else? Is when there is a bad call, when a ref makes a horrible call, and whoever the coach is sits there, and instead of going off like a madman, just takes it and gets his guys. You know one of the best. You know why Michael Jordan was such a great player? Because when things went wrong, he never got out of kilter. He was the most calm person on the court when everything else was falling. You watch him. I mean, he would do these, and he didn't make every last second shot. He tells a story about that. But you watch him. He's the most calm person. He's not caught up in the moment and just out of control. He was strength under control. And one of the things about meekness is meekness really occurs when there is an injustice happening. I'll never forget, I worked for the state of Louisiana, and we had a number of wrecks and road rage and all this taking place and people driving our trucks. So they made us all go to class and take a driving class. I'll never forget, this one instructor came in one day and he said, "All right, I want you to understand, I know some of you get upset when these people pass you and all of this." And he began to talk to us about psychology of and all this. And I remember he just went around the room. He began pointing at us. How do you feel when people pass you? And the guy said, "I don't know. Nobody's ever passed me." How do you deal with an injustice? How do you deal with when you have the strength? Stand up in that restaurant today and say, "Well, why take my business somewhere else?" Listen, this week has nothing to do with you helping teach somebody a lesson and helping managers manage their business. This week is about meekness. This week is about the Holy Spirit producing meekness in your life. Listen, there will be a test. See, one of the keys about all that we read and learn is we think there's no tests. There will be a test this week. So when you're there, just think, "Pastor Terry, Pastor Terry, Pastor Terry." All right, everybody said it. Let's pray. That's enough. I think I've done enough for a day. Let's pray. Maybe you've never met this one who called himself, "I am meek and lowly in heart." Close your eyes just for a second. Maybe you never met him. Maybe you thought God was just some angry God up there. He is the most meek being in the entire universe. He designed our universe to be strength under control. I mean, the orbits and the gravity and the sun and the moon and the stars and the universe and the galaxies and all that stuff is under control of his hand. And so in your life, maybe you've never met him. Maybe you've never come to a place where you knew him. He said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will," and in the Greek, it's where we get our word vacation. "I will give you rest. I will give you a vacation." Maybe the load you're carrying today is heavy. Maybe it is. But you know what he says? You can cast all your cares on him, for he cares for you. And he is meek. What does that mean? He is strength under control. He's not here to lash out at you. He is strength under control. He is meek and lowly of heart. And so this morning, maybe you've never met him that way. Maybe you always thought God is some angry God, ready to, you know, you know, just strike out with anger and thunder and lightning and all that stuff. But this morning, I want you to do this. If you've never met him, he is meek and lowly in heart. He described himself, and he cannot lie. He is meek and lowly in heart. And he meets you where you are. He doesn't ask you to be at the level of all these other people in here. No, no, no. He meets you exactly where you are. He wants to do in your life. So I want you, maybe you want to meet him this morning. Maybe you want to turn your life over to him. Maybe you want to say, hey, Lord, I want to know you. I want to know you. And that, you know, one of the things is, Lord, I want to know the God. I want to know the God that made me. I want to know the God that made the universe. I want to know you, Lord. I want to know you. And when that desire of your heart comes, he'll come and show himself. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden. Maybe you're downcast. Maybe you're trodden down today. He says, come unto me, all you that like that. And I will give you rest, for I am meek. Come, because you're to learn. Take my yoke upon you, because you're to learn about me, that I am meek and lowly in heart. So if you want to do that, I want everybody to pray with me. Just pray this. And if you've never prayed and you need some help, we're going to help you right now. And you just pray along with us. Say, dear God, I want to know you. Jesus, I want to know you. Come into my life. Forgive me of all I've done wrong. And would you be my help? Change me, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Everybody said amen today. Give the Lord a good clap offering if you would.